السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. اللهم افتح علينا فتوح العارفين، اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا يا أرحم الراحمين. Today, inshallah, we will talk about Ash-Shifa bint Abdullah and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu anhuma. So, inshallah, we'll start with Ash-Shifa radiyallahu anha. And one day, this blessed woman became a Muslim. And she was of the very early women who became Muslims. So she pledged Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she used to go to his home often to sit with Sayyida Hafsa, the mother of the believers. And she would teach her how to read and write. She was from Quraysh, and she was known to be so wise. She had brilliant mind, and she was very smart. So she knew that she was from the few women who could read and write. So she decided to serve Islam. She decided to serve Muslims with all she can. She knows she has something that people do not have. So she decided to use this knowledge that she has for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she used to be a teacher. And she used to teach the female companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by this she was the first teacher, the woman teacher in Islam. And she had a special position with the mothers of the believers, and as I just mentioned, she had a very strong relation with Hafsa radiallahu anha. So events were taking place in the new Islamic state, and Al-Shifa continued her jihad and continued her work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the men would be fighting with the sword, she would give her knowledge of medicine in the battlefield, and she would help the injured. She would help those who need her help. And with this, she had a very special place with Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she would always come to him and to ask him, to discuss things with him. And Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked her wisdom, and he liked her wide knowledge. This is a message for all women. Learn, read, do your best to be knowledgeable in as many fields of this life as you can. And there are a lot of hadiths and narrations that talk about the virtues of the well-educated people. So Ash-Shifa was one of those very wise and very intellect, very smart woman. She was very knowledgeable in the in medicine. And she also practiced ruqya. And that was since early time, before she became a Muslim. So in pre-Islamic period, she practiced ruqya. And when she became a Muslim, she came to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she told him, I used to practice ruqya before Islam. Can I do it again? So Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her the permission to continue her work. And she would always listen from Sayyidina, hear from Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he used to say, سَلُوا اللَّهَ الْعَفْوَ وَالْعَافِيَةَ فَإِنَّهُ مَا أُوْتِيَ أَحَدٌ بَعْدَ يَقِينٍ خَيْرًا مِنْ مُعَافَاتٍ. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Ask him for health, for well-being. For after being granted certainty, one is given nothing better than health. And if you wake up in the morning, you will be, and you are able to get out of bed, say, Alhamdulillah, I don't need anyone to help me get out of the bed. When you go to use the restroom, say, Alhamdulillah, I don't need any machines to help me get the urine out of my body. When you do, just feel the blessings of health that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with every single thing you can think of. You are looking, you are seeing, you are hearing. You can walk, you can use your hands, you can think. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all these blessings. And there is a charity, there is a sadaqah for having good health every day. You need to pray 2 rak'ahs of duha prayer. So al-shifa came to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he gave her the permission. He gave her the permission to go on with her work. And she used to have to use a spell for sting of scorpion, a spell for the evil eye, and a spell of anamala. What is this? This is a certain dermatology sickness. It's a type of skin eruption that she used to know a certain spell for that, and she used to say it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give shifa for the person who she is doing the ruqya for. Now let's stop for a second. When you feel sick and you go to a doctor, don't think that the medicine this doctor gave you cured you. No. Allah made the cure on the hand of this person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who cures. So when she came to Sayyidina Muhammad, and Shifa came to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, inni kuntu arqi bi ruqan fil jahiliyyati min an-namla. وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَنْ أَعْرِضَهَا عَلَيْكَ. I used to say a certain spell to cure people from this skin eruption, from this certain dermatology sickness, and I would like to present it to you. So he said, yes, show me, say it to me. And she said, Bismillah. And she said the spell. And then she said, اللَّهُمَّ اكْشِفِي الْبَأْسِ رَبَّ النَّاسِ. Ya Allah, I'm directing myself to you so that you give the cure to this person. You are the Lord of mankind. And it was said, the way she used to do the ruqya, she would get a stick of curcum, and she would do the ruqya 7 times. And then she would get a clean place, and she would rub that on a stone with a special vinegar. And then the outcome, she would rub it on the affected area. And with this permission, Ash-Shifa continued to practice her, let's say, medicine that she used to do for the people. And not only that, she used also to teach them. But of course, when you want to teach something, you have to choose if the person is eligible for this knowledge or not. You don't give any knowledge to a person who is not who will use it badly or who will not understand how to use it. No, you have to choose, is that person ready to use it? And then you decide whether to give it or not. So Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having seen what she can, how she, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the cure through what she does, he asked her to teach her, his wife Hafsa radiallahu anha, the ruqya of the namla. And why, if we stop, the word namla in Arabic means ant. So this type, the reason that this sickness is called a namla, because the sick person would feel that there are ants on the area that as if they are running on this area and sticking him, and that's why this sickness is called the sickness of a namla. So Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Ash-Shifa to teach his wife, Hafsa radiallahu anha, the ruqya of the namla. And she said, دخل علي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا عند حفصة. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in one time when I was visiting Hafsa. So he said to me, ألا تعلمين هذه, talking about Hafsa, رقية النملة كما علمتها الكتابة, would you not teach this one, or this one, يعني, this one of my wives, this one, the spell of skin eruption, the رقية of the نملة, as you taught her writing. We mentioned at the very beginning that she used to go to the house of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to visit Hafsa radiallahu anha, who she was in very good relation with, and she used to teach her how to read and write. So Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked what Ash-Shifa was doing, and he was always giving her a good position with him, and he gave her also a house in Medina, and she lived in that house with her son Sulaiman radiallahu anhuma. Now that was her life during the life of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he, and of course when he passed away, he was so pleased with Ash-Shifa. So Ash-Shifa continued to be the teacher and the doctor during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and later during the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an. And Sayyidina Umar used also to give her a special rank, and he used to talk to her, he used to take her advice, and he, having found something special, so much knowledge, so much wisdom, he gave her a position in the market. And with this, she was the first finance Muslim woman in Islam at the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So now, if we stop for a second, a woman can be a leader, a woman can be a teacher, a woman can be a doctor, a woman can be everything that can help building this society. And one of the poets said, الأم مدرسة إذا أعددتها أعددت شعبا طيب الأعراق. The woman is a whole school. If you know how to have a good school, then the students who will graduate will be a whole good nation. This is the woman. This is the woman in Islam. And subhanAllah, Ashifa used to be very just, very good person. And she used to say a lot of things, about a lot of good things about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And she used to praise him and to witness for his virtues. One day she saw a few young men walking very slowly, talking very slowly. And she said, what's this? And they said, we are worshippers, men of worship. And she said, كان والله عمر إذا تكلم أسمع. Umar used to be a very strong man. If he would speak, people would listen. Everyone would listen to him. He used to speak loudly. He used to speak well. وَإِذَا مَشَى أَسْرَى. And if he walks, he would walk quickly, not like the way you are walking. وَإِذَا ضَرَبَ أَوْجَى. And if he hits, it would be a painful hit. وَهُوَ النَّاسِكُ حَقَّهُ. And he was a true worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu used to visit her. He used to check on her. And he used to check about her husband and about her son. And he would give them guidance. And he would give them, if they need anything, he would fulfill their needs. And one time, Ashifa says that Umar radiallahu anh came into my house and he found two men sleeping. And they were her husband and her son. So he said, وَمَا شَأْنُ هَذَيْنِ مَا شَهِدَا مَعَنَا الصَّلَاةِ. What happened to these two men? Haven't they prayed with us? She said, يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ صَلَّيَا مَعَ النَّاسِ. And that was during Ramadan, by the way. She said, أمير المؤمنين, they prayed with people. فَلَمْ يَزَالَا يُصَلِّيَانِ حَتَّى أَصْبَحَا وَصَلَّيَا الصُّبْحَ وَنَامَا. So they were praying all the time during, they made ihya during the whole night. That was a night in Ramadan. So Umar said, I would prefer to pray the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah with people congregationally, and that would be much better for me than going up all night and praying by myself. So do your best to revive this sunnah of Sayyidina Umar and pray Fajr prayer with Jama'ah. You don't need to go to the masjid, but go pray it with your husband, pray it with your children, pray it with your father. So do your best not to miss the Fajr prayer with Jama'ah. And that was how Umar understood religion. And his advice would always follow the rules that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has put. So Ashifa radiallahu anha was a very good female companion, and she was the best teacher. She was an amazing physician. And more than that, men used to come to her to listen to the narrations of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of the hadith that she narrated. Su'ila alayhi salat wa salam an afdali al-a'mal. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the best things to do. And he said, Imanun billah, faith in Allah. Wa jihadun fi sabili, fighting and struggling for the sake of Allah. Wa hajjun mabrur, and performing hajj that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's stop for a second here about and think about what does jihadun fi sabilihi mean, fighting and struggling for the sake of Allah. The word jihad means to fight for the sake of Allah, but it also means to fight your nafs, to struggle against your nafs. The nafs would always ask you to do whatever pleases her, the nafs. But, so the person should always fight the desires, should always fight shaitan. This is one type of fighting, the one type of struggle. Another type of struggle is that when you have to walk up for Fajr prayer, it's so cold. You are under your blanket, warm, cozy, and you think of, okay, I have to get up, I have to make wudu, and I have to pray. This is a type of struggling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a struggle for worship. So we want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. So one day of the 20th year of Hijrah, during the caliphate of Umar radiallahu an, the teacher and the physician got sick. She always used to help people and to cure people, but it was the time when she could not even cure herself. And normally, when someone is sick, you make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, please get this person well again and give him good health again. Allah will answer this call if there is still time for that person to live. But if it's death time, then halas, nothing. So she passed away. She moved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but whatever she taught stayed. And this is why we do our best to do something that would stay after death, that will stay after we die, that we can still get the reward for it after we die. Leave knowledge. Teach someone. Teach, if you know how to read Quran, teach someone how to read Quran. At least teach them how to read Al-Fatiha, because whenever they pray, they would read Al-Fatiha, and whenever they read Al-Fatiha, they would get the reward, and whenever they would get the reward for that, you will get a reward also. So leave something behind that will be continuous. Leave something that's called continuous charity. Put some money to help building a masjid. Raise good children who will make dua for you after you die. Build a masjid, dig a wall, a well. Do something that would give you hasanat, that would give you good deeds after you die. So moving on, we will talk inshallah about Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah was a thin, tall, very bright-faced man. And he had several nicknames. He was the he became a Muslim at the very early time of Islam. So I think it was one day after Sayyidina Abu Bakr, And he was a merchant. He was a friend of Sayyidina Abu Bakr. So the titles he had, the trustworthy, the strong, the commander, the one who lost the front two front teeth. And he was one of the 10 people who were promised paradise. And above all, his lineage meets with Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Fihr. So when he became a Muslim, his father was against Islam, and he even died as non-Muslim. But what he did, he tortured his son with the worst torture that was possible. But the son stayed fast. The father got to the point that he was sure that he could not get his son to go back to be a non-Muslim, to go back to the religion of the forefathers. So he left him. He got desperate. He knew that he cannot do anything about it. So he said, okay, khalas, leave me. I don't care about you. Quraysh, after that, used to insult the Muslims, used to oppress them badly. Until Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the permission for the Muslims to migrate to Abyssinia. And Abu Ubaidah radiallahu an was of those who went to Abyssinia and who lived there safely, but he couldn't leave Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to go back, and he did. So he went back to Mecca. And years passed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered and gave permission to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to migrate to Medina. So Abu Ubaidah was of the first people who migrated to Medina, and that's why he was called Sahibul Hujrat al-Hijratain, the Hijra to the one who traveled, who migrated both immigrants, and it was the one to Abyssinia and the one to Medina. And there in Medina, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about, asked the immigrants to be brethren. So the immigrants were paired off with Ansars. And the leader of the Ansar, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'az, was the other pair of Sayyidina Muhammad, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. It was the second year of Hijrah later, and the two groups, the Muslims and the non-Muslims, started the war of Badr, and the Muslims were victorious during that battle. But later, less than 1 year, it was Ghazwat Uhud, and Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah had a very special, remarkable position in that Ghazwa, in that battle. So when the Muslims were about to win the battle, the archers whom Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put on behind the army just to protect the army, they thought that the war ended, and they ran down to get the booties. So at this time, Khalid ibn al-Walid attacked the Muslims from behind, from the rear, changing an Islamic victory into defeat. And Abu Ubaidah immediately noticed the danger around Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he immediately rushed to guard him. And he had a special event. A special event happened at that time. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu an saw that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the his armor, two pieces of the armor got into the cheeks of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was bleeding. So he rushed to him, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr saw that. He also rushed to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take it out. And Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah looked at Sayyidina Abu Bakr and he said to him, أسألك بالله يا أبا بكر ألا تركتني فأنزعه من وجنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Oh Abu Bakr, I ask you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave me to take care of it. I want to extract it from the cheeks of Sayyidina Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Abu Bakr of course, gave him that honor. And Abu Ubaidah took the one of these things that came into the face of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he took it with his front teeth and he pulled. When he pulled, he fell on the ground, and the piece was taken out of the face of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as a result he lost his front tooth. Then he did the same for the second piece that was in the cheek of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and again he fell down and his second tooth also was pulled out when he pulled the piece from the face of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why he was nicknamed as Al-Athram, the one who lost the front tooth, Al-Athram. And he, Abu Ubaidah says, this is the best nickname I ever had. We know he had a commander, he had the strong, the trustworthy, he had different nicknames, but he says this would be the best to me because it reminded him always of the time when he sacrificed himself for Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then after that battles happened, and he was always fighting against the non-believers. And Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always make him a leader. He was very strong, he was very honest, he was a true, trustworthy, strong leader. And Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it was the time of conquering Mecca, he divided the army into four divisions and he made Abu Ubaidah a leader on one of those divisions. Then it was also things happened after the conquering of Mecca. Now the tribes would come to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to witness Islam, to accept Islam. And one time there was a group of Yemen, Ahlul Yemen, and when they announced Islam, they asked Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to send with them to Yemen a person, a companion who would teach them the religion, and he would teach them the fiqh of the religion. And Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, come during the night and I will send with you the trustworthy, the strong. Tuni fi al-ashiyyati ab'ath ma'akum al-qawiyya al-amin. So And all the companions who heard this statement of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all wished that they are that person whom Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the trustworthy, the strong. And when it was the prayer, after they finished the prayer, they were praying with Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Umar said, I never liked to be the emir, the leader of anything, except for that time, because I liked this statement. أَبْعَثُ مَعَكُمُ الْقَوِيَّ الْأَمِينَ. This statement of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they finished praying and Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said assalamu alaykum, assalamu alaykum. And Sayyidina Umar at that time, he said, I would make myself tall enough just so that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his blessed eye would look at me and choose me. But Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking into the crowd, into his companions, until his eyes met the eyes of Abu Ubaidah, and he said to him, come. أخرج معهم فقض بينهم بالحق فيما اختلفوا فيه. Come, you will be going with them and you will be a just person with the matters that they have dispute with. So he sent him, Sayyid Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent Abu Ubaidah, the strong, the trustworthy man, the companion, just to teach the people of Yemen their true religion. So this was Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah during the life of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the day, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Medina, everyone in Medina was panicking. But Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah had a very strong position at that time. He went to Sayyidina Abu Bakr and he asked him, Sayyidina Abu Bakr wanted to appoint Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah as the Khalifa after Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to him, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, I heard سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن لكل أمة أمينا. Each and every nation has someone who is trustworthy. وأنت أمين هذه الأمة, and you are the trustworthy of this ummah, of this nation. And he wanted to pledge, to give him the pledge to be a Khalifa, but سيدنا أبو عبيدة understood it wisely. He was a wise person. He said, ما كنت لأتقدم رجلا أمره رسول الله أن يأمنا. I would never accept to be a leader to someone who was asked by Sayyidina Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to lead the prayer. Remember when Sayyidina Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was on his deathbed and it was the time for prayer, he ordered them to tell Sayyidina Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. And Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah understood it wisely, understood it. He was smart to understand that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed Sayyidina Abu Bakr to be the Khalifa after him. And with this, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah was of the first people who gave the pledge to Sayyidina Abu Bakr to be the Khalifa. He knew that this was an amana. This is a trust. And the one who is trustworthy should be trustworthy no matter what positions, what circumstances change. So Abu Ubaidah was a humble, loyal, trustworthy person who took care of the Muslims all the time. And that, of course, was recorded for him. This moment when he gave the pledge to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, when he announced it to the Muslims, was recorded for Abu Bakr. If you want to apply something like this to in this dunya, always remember that there are some circumstances, there are some events that need you to stand fast, and it will be recorded for you, especially when you are on the right path. Of course, there are people who are recorded, but they are recorded badly for their actions. But we, as Muslims, we have to stand steady, fast, and to prove our points, and to be proud of our religion, to be proud of our ideas when people are opposing them. We don't go with the flow. If people are doing something bad, it doesn't mean that this bad thing became okay because everyone is doing it. No. اللهم أرنا الحلال حلالا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الحرام حراما وارزقنا اجتنابه. We always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to make us recognize what is good and what is bad, what is lawful and what is not lawful. And we ask Him to guide us, to make us follow the correct thing that should be done. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was very close to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and he was his consultant in the political issues and in the issues of jurisprudence also. So when some Muslims would ask for to have a leader, would ask Sayyidina Abu Bakr to appoint a leader to them, to teach them, he would say, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْهَيِّنِ اللَّيِّنِ الَّذِي إِذَا ظُلِمَ لَمْ يَظْلِمْ وَإِذَا أُسِيءَ إِلَيْهِ غَفَرْ وَإِذَا قُطِعَ وَصَلْ رَحِيمٌ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He would say, you have to go to Abu Ubaidah, the easy to go, the one who is just. If someone oppresses him, he would never oppress people. If someone mistreats him, he would forgive them. If he is cut off something, he would get connected to others. He has so much mercy to the Muslims, but he is very strong against the non-believers. So these are the characteristics of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. He fulfilled the words of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah Al-Fatih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the description of the people of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Muhammadur Rasulullah, والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم, تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him are forceful against disbelievers. They are merciful amongst themselves. You see them bowing and prostrating, performing the prayers, seeking bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His pleasure. There are marks on their faces from the traces of prostration. So this was a true example. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah was a true example of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in the Holy Quran. So this was Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah. And once there was, during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, there was a big army against the Byzantine, and the armies of the Muslims gathered in a place called Al-Yarmouk just to fight the Byzantines. The chief commander of the army was Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid, and Abu Ubaidah was a commander on the center of the army. So the two armies started the war, and it was a fierceful war. Before the army was finished, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah got a letter from Medina, and it had two important things. The letter was from Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, and the first thing that was mentioned in that letter was that Sayyidina Abu Bakr passed away and Sayyidina Umar became the Khalifa after him. And the second order in that, the second thing that was mentioned in that letter was that Sayyidina Umar was demoted in favor of Abu Ubaidah. So Sayyidina Umar demoted Khalid ibn al-Walid, the commander-in-chief of the army, and he appointed Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah in his place. When Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah read this letter, he thought that out of amana, out of trust, he has to conceal the caliph order to avoid chaos in the army. So when the battle finished, he immediately, very humbly, took the letter and gave it to Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid. And Sayyidina Khalid, he was a very strong leader, but yet he would comply to the orders of the Khalifa no matter what. And he said to Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah, يَرْحَمْكَ اللَّهُ أَبَا عُبَيْدَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تُخْبِرَنِي حِينَ جَاءَكَ الْكِتَابُ. May Allah have mercy on you, Abu Ubaidah. Why you did not tell me when you received the book? I would immediately step down and you would be the chief of commander of the whole army. So listen to this answer that was given by Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah. He said to him, you are leading the army. I didn't want to change anything in that. It's not for the dunya that I want to be the leader of the army. This is not the main issue. The main issue is that we should have victory as Muslims. So imagine the moral superiority and the unselfishness of this amazing great commander. So this is what our goal should be in this dunya. To work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing more. And then we are passing on time, and I'm going to mention this very briefly. There was later on a plague. Before that, another point I want to mention, actually. Once Sayyidina Umar missed Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah a lot, so he visited him in Sham. And when Abu Ubaidah saw Sayyidina Abu Bakr, the Khalifa, he shook hand, he kissed his hand, and he hugged him. He loved him so much. And Sayyidina Umar said, take me to your home. And Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah said, what do you want to do at my home? You will not like what you will see in my home. Sayyidina Umar understood the message and he said, yes, I want to go to your home. When he went there, he found nothing. He said to him, where's your stuff? I see nothing except an old water skin, a sword, a plate to eat, and you are the chief commander? And he said to him, you could have arranged something of comfort for yourself at home. But he told him, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah told him, I choose to live a simple way of life. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh cried and he said, we were all changed by dunya, except for you, ya Abu Ubaidah. And later on, during the 8th year of Hijrah, there was a plague, an epidemic that broke in the area where Abu Ubaidah was, and it spread among the army. Umar radiallahu anh heard of it when the news of the plague broke, and he immediately wrote him a letter. He said to him, I am in urgent need to you. If my letter reaches you at night, I strongly urge you to leave before dawn. And if you get my letter in the morning, I strongly urge you to leave before sunset. So Umar was scared that Abu Ubaidah would get afflicted by the plague. And he wanted to have Abu Ubaidah back, but Abu Ubaidah had no desire to save himself and leave the army dying. And he remembered the hadith of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "If you hear of an area that a plague spreads in, do not get into that area. And if you are in that area, do not get out of it so that it won't spread." So what Umar was scared of happened. Abu Ubaidah became afflicted with the plague and he died. Before his death, he appointed Mu'az ibn Jabal as his successor. And Mu'az talked to the people and he said, by God, I don't know whether I have seen a man who had a more righteous heart, who was further from an all evil, and who was more sincere to people than Abu Ubaidah. Ask Allah for forgiveness and ask for mercy for him. This was Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh. And our hope, inshallah, is to raise a generation that are the like of Abu Ubaidah. We wanted to raise a nation. We wanted to raise children that would be coolness of an eye to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to start with ourselves. We have to be the good models that we want to raise our kids to, how we want our kids to be. We have to show them that this is how you be and this is how we want you to be. And that's what will please the Messenger of Allah. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.